Conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 1049 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
It is B&E, show of the people on a Tuesday. Flip the calendar. June 1 is here, which a lot to look forward to in this month. College baseball hits its climax. The field of 64 is set. Tournament baseball begins on Friday for the Longhorns. They'll face Southern, winners of the SWAC Conference Tournament, and also Arizona State and Fairfield. Did I got that right? Fairfield coming?
Fairfield, Connecticut.
From your neck of the woods where you went to college at Boston College. Fairfield, 37-3, their record, but haven't played anybody out of their conference this year, so we'll see what they're all about. But Arizona State, a traditional power, and as we've said all morning and talked about, we've talked to Ty Harrington. He helped us break down the bracket. Dustin McComas helped us break down the bracket. And the field of 64, three Big 12 teams in the top eight. So obviously, if they can protect home field at Texas Tech in Lubbock and at TCU in Fort Worth and here in Austin, you'd have three teams into the round of 16, which is the super regional round. And then obviously beyond that, eight teams make it to Omaha. The Longhorns' next, they hope, their next road game and road trip will be to Omaha, Nebraska for another trip to the College World Series. But you got to take care of business this weekend and next. And as we've said, if Texas were to win this weekend and take care of it, Florida, the Gainesville Regional, is on the agenda.
And I know,
Kevin Dunn has a high opinion. Kevin Dunn, of course, college baseball expert from the afternoon show, RBKD. He's got a high opinion of the Gators as far as their overall team. So college baseball here, also June 1, as we talked about, is football time. Could there be trades this week with Julio Jones, possibly Zach Ertz from the Philadelphia Eagles? And it's also recruiting open season now. And I was reading this story in theathletic.com, Buck. And how about this? I'll just read you a couple lines from this. It says, there is a common word among every college coach that every college coach uses to describe what's about to happen this summer in college football. Chaos. Chaos, it says. It says it's typical in regards to what June is shaping up to be from a recruiting standpoint, but there are so many other factors also looming. NIL, which is name, image, and likeness, plus the one-time transfer rule kicking in at a time which player evaluation decisions will have to occur at warp speed. One coach who's quoted in this article says, question, why would you not sign the entire class with transfer portal kids? Because at least you know what they have used their one-time transfer. You won't have to worry about them going back into the portal. So the argument is, take advantage of it now. Like, you could actually go out and get 20 transfers, potentially. Now, this is just an example. Fill up all of your recruiting class for next season with transfer players, because this is the year you can transfer without a penalty, but the penalty's going to come back. This isn't a forever deal.
Right.
So the likelihood of a player that you get in the transfer portal this year getting back into the portal, very low, because now all of a sudden it's back to sit out a year.
Back to high school recruiting. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, y'all.
So, I mean, and you know, we've seen it across. You know, Steve Sarkisian has already been after it. They're going to continue to hit transfer portal players. There's a cornerback out of Tulsa, University of Tulsa, that Texas is in on. They're into the Final Five for a transfer. We know down at Texas State, Jake Spavital is in heavily into the transfer portal trying to add pieces. It's going to be interesting to follow, Buck.
The college coaches are eventually going to come to their senses, too, and say, you know what? You know, some of these things we wanted, and now that they're here, it's too much to handle, and we need to make sure that our high schools are going to be our bread and butter, because very shortly they're not going to be. Just not. And that's all over the nation, folks. That's not just in the state of Texas. That just doesn't happen in the University of Texas or the Big 12. That's going to happen everywhere. And high school kids' opportunities to get into to the big colleges that at one time they were recruited by, it's not going to be like that anymore.
Yeah. No, I think, and again, this year, because of COVID and COVID the pandemic, I mean, it's the one-year transfer without penalty window. That's not going to be the case moving forward, right? Name, image, and likeness will become the standard. The transfer portal is not going away. But the one-year sit-out thing,
right,
and then 2 years in your own conference will continue. They'll come back, right? And I think, now, I don't know if it'll still be 2 years if you transfer within the Big 12, but that'll be back in the one-year window. So this summer, you have an opportunity to reshape your roster in a huge way, unlike really any other time in the future or in the past. And so it's really just open free agency And you know, this article goes into that there's brokers out there that are brokering deals with universities. I mean, it's going to be pretty crazy. And obviously, for a guy like Steve Sarkisian and this new coaching staff at Texas, you also get your first time to bring players onto your campus. The high school kids that you're talking about, Buck.
I got to ask Jeff, do they get to work them out? I mean, are they just coming to visit campus, or can they come in and throw a football and do some things?
Yeah, they can do camps. They can do camps.
Do you call it a camp, or do you call it a workout? What is it? I mean, is it a tryout, or is it a camp? Is it a legit,
not sure.
A legitimate camp, or is it four quarterbacks coming to throw?
I think it's a legitimate camp. Like, you can have the actual, summer, Steve Sarkisian camp coming up this summer. You can do that again, but coaches can't go to players' houses yet.
Right.
That's not until the fall.
Like it was, like it used to be, yes.
Yes. So the players can come here. Like, Texas has a bunch of big recruiting weekends lined up where a bunch of prospects for the class of 2022-23 will be coming in, including the weekend when Arch Manning comes, the nephew of Peyton Manning and Eli Manning, one of the top recruits for a couple years from now. So we'll see where that goes. June's going to be interesting in a lot of ways. College baseball, and the recruiting, and NFL. I do think there's a chance for some movement here this week because salary cap ramifications lessening after June 1, and we'll see if Julio Jones, Zach Ertz get traded. I mentioned Patrick Mahomes and the quote that he had over the weekend. So Patrick Mahomes, he's the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, pretty good player. He was talking to the Bleacher Report and dropped one heck of a quote. He said the only talking about records, NFL records, and what his goals are. He said the only record I have my eyes on breaking, which would be a new one this year, is going 20-0. Mahomes boldly proclaimed, "It's not really a record that can be broken, I guess you could say, but I think going 19-0 is the record right now. So being able to go 20-0 and be the first ones to do that would be awesome."
Yeah, man, he's got that in his mind. He might as well set his goals high. His goals are high anyway. You know, it's to get back to the Super Bowl, win that, but to win 20 games, except for Tom Brady, Patrick is thinking the same exact thing with his team.
Well, and
he's just not saying it, but he's thinking it.
Well, I 20-0. I mean, no one's ever done that. No one's ever done 19-0. He's not right about that. I mean, the Miami Dolphins, the only perfect season in NFL history, 17-0. Back in 1972, Tom Brady and the Patriots went 18-0 and didn't win the 19th. Remember, they lost the Super Bowl to the New York Giants. So, look, I mean, anytime Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback, you have a chance to win the game. I mean, is phenomenal, and he's only getting better. And I really like what the Chiefs did to rebuild their offensive line. They attacked their biggest weakness, and, I mean, they've rebuilt their offensive line through trades, through the draft, and then through free agency. And that's going to be a strength of that team now. If they can run the ball and they can get Clyde Edwards-Helaire running the football and back to healthy in year two, and then the weapons, Tyreek Hill still there, Travis Kelce still there.
As good as they are, they're still not good as that Tampa Bay team coming into the second year with everybody coming back.
I know, we saw
back.
The Super Bowl. It was 31-9 in the Super Bowl, and it wasn't close. But
a
big part of that was the inability of the Chiefs' offensive line to block anyone in that game and give Patrick Mahomes any time.
They got a bunch of mad dogs on that defense in Tampa.
Any chance of complacency in Tampa with some veteran guys?
There always is after you win a Super Bowl. I mean, you can lay back if you're not the New England Patriots and say, you know what, some people will call that their pinnacle, and they don't have any idea of trying to get there again. You know, we'd like to get there, but if we don't, guess what I got at my house? This big old fat juicy ring, because I've been there, you know? But for Tom Brady, hey, I've been there 7 times. Guess what? I'd like to go back there 8 times. And win them all.
And people might say complacency, but you know what? What you learn when you win and what Tom Brady took them to last year in that defense, winning's fun. Winning's fun. And there's a formula.
You know what you learn from winning? You learn how to win. You learn how from losing? You learn how to lose.
Yes. And the Buccaneers as an organization for the last 15 years have been a losing organization.
Right.
Since they won their Super Bowl in the early 2000s with Brad Johnson at the helm and that great defense. Well, yeah, then they bring everybody back. So you have to, if a team were to go 20-0 this year, you would put your money on the Buccaneers over the Chiefs.
Oh, for sure.
Over the Chiefs.
For sure.
I do like what the Chiefs have done, but I do think the Buccaneers, not only are they bringing everybody back, they also are in the easier conference this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, that hadn't been able to be said for a while.
Look at the quarterbacks and everybody else in their conference.
Yeah. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is bitter at his team. Who knows where he's going to be? Drew Brees has retired. Russell Wilson has got whatever's going on with he and Pete Carroll in the front office, that's an issue. So who's the second team behind the Buccaneers? We've talked about this a lot in the NFC, but who is it? Is it the Rams with Matt Stafford? Who knows? Matt Stafford's never been a winning
Green Bay, but not now.
Yeah, I mean, but you got to figure out what the Packers are going to do with this Aaron Rodgers situation. So yes, for the Buccaneers with Drew Brees retiring in that division, the uncertainty in Carroll, because you got to think about your division, right? Your division is you're playing each team twice. So you got New Orleans now, who's breaking in a new quarterback, whether it's Winston or Taysom Hill. Carolina, they're going Sam Darnold. Who knows how that's going to work out?
Atlanta's got a new coach.
And Atlanta's got a new coach, and they're going to trade Julio Jones, and they seem to be in, I don't want to say rebuild, but retool mode. So, yeah, I mean, your division's friendly.
Now, if you told me Julio Jones ended up in Seattle, that made me think a little bit.
Yeah, I thought about that. That broke over the weekend that a team that's in the mix, because the betting favorite to acquire Julio Jones is New England. And actually, going into the Memorial Day weekend, I haven't seen it this morning, they were an even money bet to acquire Julio Jones. So we'll see. But yes, report over the weekend that Russell Wilson is lobbying for Julio Jones for the Seahawks. And you would think, Buck, if you have any issue with your quarterback and there is some fallout from what's gone on this offseason, you want to make amends with your quarterback and make him happy, go trade for Julio Jones and pair him with DK Metcalf.
Yes.
And
the little ballhead dude.
And Tyler Lockett?
Yeah, Tyler Lockett, who's been here for 27 years.
And then, Chris Carson is your running back?
Yeah, that's good.
That's letting
Russell know something, because that's died down. You don't hear Russell Wilson talking about how he wants to get out. He's not going to say anything until next year anyway.
Yeah, and he realizes.
Yes, he's got to play for another year.
Yeah, and
and then give up the teams that he wants to go to.
Yeah, his four people on
right.
his list. I mean, that gives the Seahawks no leverage when it comes to
but
a
But I believe Aaron Rodgers will be right back in a Green Bay. I said it before. I think he'll be playing for Green Bay, or he's going to sit out a year. They're not going to trade. They said they're not trading him. I believe the Green Bay Packers aren't trading him. That's what they do. They're going to say, okay.
It's a game of chicken. I mean, the Houston Texans, when Deshaun Watson, before all of his legal issues, which are still ongoing, the Texans said over and over again, we're not even answering the phone. But then it was revealed before the draft that without all the legal issues, Deshaun Watson would have been traded. The Texans were going to move him. And I think, I agree with you, as far as your belief that he's going to be there. But at the same time, how willing is Aaron Rodgers to play the game of chicken? How willing is he to go into September, August for sure, as a holdout? Not go to camp, not be a part of training camp, pay the fines, and dare the Packers to trade him. And you're right. The report in theathletic.com over the weekend suggested that they're ready to call his bluff. They're ready to play the game of chicken with him and dare him, because they don't think he'll actually sit out, that he'll show up and play, and he's not going to not play this season. And, it's not in their best interest to trade him unless they get a rock star deal, which I don't know that's going to come, because, who can afford? There are not many teams that can afford Aaron Rodgers right now as far as that contract goes.
But if it's going to happen, it's going to happen soon.
Yeah, I don't know. My sense would be if it's going to happen, there'll be a game of chicken that goes all the way into training camp. And this becomes a holdout situation, and then all of a sudden the hand is forced. But, yes, I think
I'd love for this to happen sometime. When those guys do all that kind of stuff to their teams, then they don't show up. Then the team, the money that they fine them for, they say, that's all right, we're not going to do that. I like to see them fine their asses for about $4 million during the course of that and say, sorry, you didn't show up.
Yeah.
We're actually going to fine you. You're coming back to the team, but guess what we're going to do?
Well, look, Aaron Rodgers has very little leverage except
for not
playing.
He wouldn't come back if
playing.
They didn't find him.
His only.
That hard ass, if he came back to him, he would demand, you're really going to find me, though? And they wouldn't. They take their. They say, no, we're not going to take that money from you. Because some of that money's in the millions. I mean, it's not a couple $100,000. You realize that, right?
Oh, it's a lot. It's a lot. And obviously, if he gets into regular season, game checks. Because to your point that if it's going to happen, it's going to happen sooner. If you're a team that wants to trade for Aaron Rodgers, you want to get him in now. I mean, you don't want to.
Right.
I mean, who wants to trade for him 2 weeks before the start of the regular season? You still probably would, but you want some time to marinate with the quarterback, with your roster, and so I agree with you. I think he's going to be a Packer this year, but we've seen him. He quit on Mike McCarthy. When Mike McCarthy was fired,
he quit on him and got him fired.
Yes.
But I don't think he'll do that to this kid. He doesn't dislike this kid.
The coach?
He doesn't.
Matt LaFleur?
Yeah.
And I don't think he would do that to his teammates. I mean, obviously his team, that's You got to be there for your ball club, and that becomes the issue. Right now during the OTAs and voluntary workouts, you know, he's not showing up. The top five receivers are not showing up. They're not there. But come camp time, that's when the rubber meets the road. They all have to be there for training camp. That begins in July, after June 1.
What's he doing? Is he still in Hawaii?
I don't know. I think he's back. I think by the way, I should have mentioned this in Salacious Gossip. So we heard last week about Aaron Rodgers. He was in Hawaii with his fiance and
ukulele.
And the actor Miles Teller,
mm-hmm.
and Miles Teller's wife. Doing the whole couples date thing.
Yeah.
Couples weekend. Couples Hawaii trip.
Couples Hawaii trip.
Well, did you see that Miles Teller, the actor, got punched in the face at a local restaurant?
Hawaii? Yeah,
in Hawaii. While he was there. Apparently, he ran into some wedding planner that claimed that Miles Teller and his wife owed him $60,000 for the wedding that they had in Hawaii a few years ago, or however long ago it was, recently. And apparently they got into it and punched him right in the face in the bathroom. Like, confronted him in the bathroom. Did you see this?
Yeah, there's many stories about it going on. Now there's another story coming about that says that he got jumped by two dudes in the restroom that, I guess, jumped multiple celebrities in Hawaii or something like that. So I don't know what to believe.
Celebrity jumpers.
Yeah, the original story was that he owed that dude money for the wedding that he planned for them, and he never got it, and he got
jaw-jacked.
Clocked in the jaw. in the bathroom at a restaurant in Hawaii. Yeah, Miles Teller.
You know who I am? Yeah, you're the guy who owes me $60,000 for that wedding.
I'd whack a dude if he owed me $60,000, I think.
For my wedding?
Paid me. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise.
And he came back, had the nerve to come back to Hawaii, and I knew he was in town with Aaron Rodgers. I'd probably confront him.
Oh, yeah. At some point. Saw the pictures on social media saying, that dude's back. He's the guy that owes me money.
Got him on the island. He can't get off. Yeah.
Track that dude down. All right. We'll continue the conversation. Let me mention this, that this is out this morning. CBS Sports has put out their annual list of the top 100 players. 100 players in the NFL for 2021. Let me read through them, and you tell me where you agree or disagree. Patrick Mahomes, number one.
Yes.
Any issue, Zay?
No.
Patrick Mahomes, number one player in the NFL, followed by the number one defensive player in the league. They say Aaron Donald. Good with it?
I'm good with that.
Game record. Three, Aaron Rodgers. Ahead of four, Tom Brady.
No, thank you.
You got Tom Brady ahead of Aaron Rodgers? He is the MVP from a year ago. The most valuable player, Aaron Rodgers?
The guys with all the trophies are the ones for me. I'll take that, the other guy.
Five on their list.
With the same team, right?
Yeah.
Still in the same, okay, yes.
Five on their list. How about this? Travis Kelce. You think Travis Kelce, the tight end from the Chiefs, the matchup nightmare, is a top five player in the National Football League?
That's hyping big praise right there, I think.
Well, I mean, watch enough Chiefs football. I mean, he is a problem. I mean,
so is the little dude
changer.
At wide receiver.
I know. But so the Chiefs, according to CBS Sports, have two of the top five players on their offense in the entire league, in Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Six on the list. This is too high for T.J. Watt, the pass rusher of the Steelers.
It's a great year.
He was the runner-up to Defensive Player of the Year, and, of course, his brother J.J. was not happy that he didn't win Defensive Player of the Year, if you remember. Seven, Devontae Adams.
Yes, about there.
Yeah, I think that would make him the best receiver in the league. Are you good with that? The Devontae Adams, the best receiver in the National Football League.
Yes.
Number eight, Russell Wilson, quarterback, Seattle Seahawks. Followed by Myles Garrett, defensive end, Cleveland Browns. Top 10?
Cleveland,
yes. And number 10, Josh Allen, vaults into the top 10. Is Josh Allen a top 10 player in the National Football League? Fair question.
Getting close. I mean, between him and number 11, I would say that's a close battle for sure.
So according to CBS and their rankings, mm-hmm. NFL players for this season, by my count, that's five quarterbacks of the top 10. Josh Allen, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes.
Where's Hill on this list?
Tyreek Hill is 13.
No.
13. Following 11 is Derrick Henry. The Mack truck leader of the Tennessee Titans offense.
Stephon Diggs is in front of him?
Ahead of Tyreek Hill.
I don't know. You don't like that one, Zay, do you? Stephon Diggs in front of Hill?
No, not at all. But he did lead the league in receiving yards, and so I get it.
14 on the list, interesting. Jaire Alexander, top corner from the Green Bay Packers. emerging in some people's opinion as the best corner in the league, and that would stand up to this list because
so in the top 20 they would have, it looks like they'll have three, and Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to play for Green Bay.
Yeah,
what the hell?
Because they haven't surrounded him with talent apparently. That's gone 26-6 in the last two seasons and been in the NFC title game back to back years. But their philosophy as an organization is flawed, according to Aaron Rodgers, the diva. 15 on the list, Jalen Ramsey. So back to back corners, LA Rams. 16, Trent Williams.
Big monster.
Offensive lineman, San Francisco 49ers. Nick Bosa, also from the 49ers at 17. Cowboy, first Cowboy at 18, is not Dak Prescott, not Ezekiel Elliott, not Amari Cooper. It's Zach Martin.
Zeke.
Not Zeke.
Not Zeke.
19, Dalvin Cook. Running back, Minnesota Vikings. 20, Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack, if he wasn't playing for the Bears, he would be in the top 10. He'd be like Aaron Donald. You know what I'm saying?
He's a beast.
He is a beast. He just plays for the Bears. I'm
trying to see where the Cowboys show up on this list.
Show me anybody. My man. Anybody in that secondary show up in the top 500?
23 on the list is Deshaun Watson, quarterback, Texans. Let me see here. Lamar Jackson, 29. Is that too low for Lamar Jackson? 29 on the list?
This is a big year for him. This year is the big year.
Mm-hmm. Tyron, I'm just going to keep looking.
I don't see enough of those guys. Devin White. I saw Tampa Bay. Enough of those guys.
How about Chase Young being 40th? He's got a lot to prove. He's only 21, 22 years old for the Washington football team.
Plenty of time for that maniac.
But he's most likely for me to be from 40 to top 10 by next year, potentially, or top 15.
Here's a Cowboy that, why is he there? DeMarcus Lawrence.
DeMarcus Lawrence at 42, ahead of any Cowboys offensive player. So, offensive skill player, I should say, because Zach Martin is an offensive player. But, yeah, number two for the Cowboys, 42, DeMarcus Lawrence. Still looking for. There's Dak Prescott, 50. 50th ranked for Dak. Where's Zeke?
Got my money. At least I got my money.
Zeke is 57 on the list. Ezekiel Elliott, Cowboys running back. 57.
They should win a lot of games.
They should. Why? I don't see any. DeMarcus Lawrence is way overseeded in this, in my opinion, based on his performance the last couple of years. Still looking for more Cowboys. No Cowboys. On this,
you know,
list.
What's incredible is a team that I think is going to be pretty good this year. I don't see anybody from the Colts at all.
Well, Quentin Nelson, their guard, is in the top 20. I mean, the top 25. He's probably the best guard in the league right now. One of the best offensive linemen in the league. But yes, Colts are a pretty understated team.
They are.
But the players on the Colts who have a chance to vault themselves into this conversation are Jonathan Taylor, the running back, and then Carson Wentz. Right? Can Carson Wentz get himself back as a top quarterback? If he does, Colts are going to be pretty good. Obviously, that's a huge if, though, the way he played in Philadelphia the last couple of years, for sure. But, top 100 players, according to CBS Sports, and somebody said, where is Baker Mayfield? I'm scrolling.
That's why he's not going to get that monster contract. Scrolling. He's going to be happy with it.
Scrolling.
He's behind Joe Burrow? Joe Burrow doesn't have a leg.
I don't see him.
He's missing a leg.
I see. I don't see Baker Mayfield. Doesn't make the cut. Matt Stafford's at 88. They got Saquon Barkley at 87. I know he's coming off a knee injury, but there's 86 better players in the league than Saquon Barkley, really?
I don't think so.
If healthy. By the way, eyewitness account that Saquon Barkley was in town this weekend.
In this town?
In this town. This past weekend.
What's going on? Track and field? What's happening?
I don't know. Just a visit, I guess. Saw a picture on social media that they had a drink with Saquon Barkley down like a rainy street or something. Yeah.
Did he look big? Did he look good? Is he ready to go?
I think he's higher than 87 for me. I'm just going to say that. When healthy, there's not 86 better players in this league than Saquon Barkley. But that's what they say. Joe,
and you know what? When healthy, there's not 100 players better than Baker, moneymaker.
I don't see him on the list.
Why is he on this list?
Bacon Mayfield. Maybe I missed it. There's 100 people, so I'm scanning. I see
Joe Burrow, between
91 and 100, they have
Kirk Cousins,
Kyler Murray, and Joe Burrow.
You like that?
No, I don't like that.
Yeah, but I don't see Baker. I see Odell Beckham.
Beckham?
Yeah, 81.
Wouldn't you even write me a letter back?
Come on, man.
Come on.
I don't see him. No. Not finding him.
There's Nick Chubb.
Yeah, the running back. All right, we'll come back. We'll continue to peruse. This just came out and dropped this morning, the top 100 players in the NFL for this coming season. They also is a list out this weekend of the top players under 25 in the National Football League. We'll go through some of that. Who are the best young players in the NFL? It's going to be a wild month of June in college football recruiting. The Longhorns are the number two national seed in the college baseball tournament. All things we're talking about, the good, the bad, and the ugly on a Tuesday morning that feels like a Monday. Glad you're with us, live, local, and digital, always streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Yeah, our list, not our list. We were talking about the CBS Sports list of the top 100 NFL players for the upcoming season, and someone says no offensive lineman until 16. I call BS. I say yes on that, too. And is really Trent Williams of the 49ers the best offensive lineman in the league? That would be the assertion of this list.
Did he not play half the year last year?
Remember, he's in Washington, and then commanded a trade, got traded to the 49ers, but... I don't know if he's the best lineman in the National Football League, but left tackles are very important, and that's according to CBS Sports. Also talking Texas baseball, the number two overall national seed. Dustin McComas was with us last hour. Interesting, he thought maybe it's a good idea to not use Ty Madden in game one against Southern, maybe go Tristan Stevens and save Ty Madden for the second game, which would be against the winner of the two and the three seed, Arizona State and Fairfield, which I thought was interesting. And he backed it up with, you know, Southern is a speed team, right? Their runs come from, you know, getting on base and you know, being
stealing
very
bases,
aggressive.
Yes.
And that Tristan Stevens is better at holding runners and that you might have a better matchup. But we'll see. We'll wait to hear what David Pierce has to say about his matchup. Typically, when we talk to Coach Pierce, Buck, he says, you know what? It's Friday. We're giving the ball to Ty.
Right. He wants the ball.
And he wants the ball. But,
right.
You know, at that point, you got to play the regional. Now it's about survive in advance. And, you know, if Tristan... Or Pete Hansen even. Pete Hansen's probably the best pitcher Texas has at holding runners and, you know, not walking batters. His you know, both of those guys pitch to contact and don't. Because the one thing about Ty Madden, he will walk batters, right? He will get a little wild at times with that high-velocity fastball and that slider. You know, the last thing you want to do against a speed team like Southern is put guys on. That's what they want. And then they can be aggressive on the base paths. But the bigger issue for Texas, they need to put the ball in play, right? The 47 strikeouts over four games of the Big 12 tournament. Only scored 12 total runs in the four games. They went 2-2 and lost Oak State and 5-4 in that finale. But by the way, congratulations to the TCU Horned Frogs. Actually won the Big 12 tournament on Sunday. They also are going to host a regional and a super regional potentially. It's the top six team, the sixth ranked team in the country. Texas Tech also top eight out of the Big 12.
Well, so yesterday, you know, it felt like it was Sunday. And so I'm waiting for golf to come on. I'm thinking, golf's over. It ended the day before. So I took up watching your show, Yellowstone.
No.
I took it, and I don't really.
With Kevin Costner?
I don't really care to catch it season one, two, or from the beginning, you know, when Mary Lou, Mary Joan or whatever her name was this and that. And she really wasn't a tramp, but she ended up being one or whatever. I just watched it.
You mean Beth? Beth Dutton, the tramp?
I don't know.
She's a little wild.
Is she a tramp?
I think for a lot of people who watch that show, especially the females that like that show, she's become a verb. Beth Dutton. I Beth Dutton that bad boy. You know what I mean? Like she's kind of a badass.
I kind of caught the one where she went into that clothing store and just dismantled that lady who had embarrassed that young girl. I mean, just totally dismantled that she had on. She made her take her clothes off and she had on, what was this outfit, Spanx?
Spanx.
What's that? What's that mean? Why is she mad at people wearing Spanx?
Spanx is, I mean, pardon me for being wrong on this, but it's like a modern day girdle. But it's like, it holds your stuff in. It's like a sausage casing.
I call it catfishing.
What do you mean? Spanx is okay. Why can't you wear Spanx?
It's called catfishing.
You mean you're showing
millennials.
Why would you call it that?
Because I'm seeing you out here at the bar and the club.
And
you got everything nice and tight.
Yeah.
We get back to the crib.
Ball falls out.
It doesn't matter
because that's why you had the clapper. Clap off. I mean, what are you talking about?
It is some false advertising, though.
But that's why you got the clapper.
Zay's like, when you go get those, you want to make those biscuits and you break that thing and you pop it and it all comes out.
All the cookie dough?
Yeah.
Well, that's not fair. That's not nice. That's just somebody who's trying to...
When you break the container...
When you're taking care of yourself, you're trying to take care of yourself, and if you've got on Spanx, that's okay, because, you know, by the time you get home, does it really matter?
Uh-huh.
It does? It'll always matter.
Well, no, not, you really shouldn't. But if you're shallow like Zay and me, I mean, all of a sudden you get home and all of a sudden, whoa, what was that all about?
Nothing. Still, I guarantee it never stopped you. When's the last time somebody threw some spanks and you went, okay, not for me?
Time to leave.
No. Hell no, you didn't.
Time
back
to go.
Back in the day, no. Okay, so.
So how, what's this. Your review of Yellowstone so far?
I didn't expect to hear that many bad words from all the cowboys, to tell you the truth. I wasn't expecting all that from the ranch hands and everybody else. But it's a modern day, it's a mafia. It's cowboy mafia.
Yeah, no, it is.
It's country mafia, right?
Sure.
That's what it seemed like to me.
And Kevin Costner's a little Don Corleone, right?
He's Don Corleone.
He's protecting his land.
Right.
You know, come and take it kind of thing.
We got the Native Americans who look like they have no chance in this.
Well, of course, yeah, that's their land from the beginning, and they feel like they got ripped off.
By the way, they got no chance from what I see right now.
Then there's the developers, right, that are coming in to develop the land. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of territorial
And then there's
disputes.
Kevin Costner banging the governor.
Oh, yeah. Ain't got any friends in high places, you know what I mean?
And then she turns on him.
Friends in high places.
Yeah, this is like a mafia scene. It's okay.
It's all right.
But I'm not trying to piece everything together. I just watch it as it comes on.
You don't need to. It's a getaway, right? You suspend belief on a lot of the stuff that goes on, but I think the characters are pretty interesting. I mean, getting to know.
I like his son, who's the quiet one, who doesn't do anything.
His dad doesn't like him?
No, the one his dad does like, the one who's always sitting
by
his side.
The Native American girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The one who just chills, doesn't do a thing, just hangs out with his dad.
Which one's that? That's the lawyer? You got to get bored.
He's getting
into
confused.
You're getting confused, I think.
No, no,
the
no,
rough,
not.
Tough one.
The rough,
is the
tough
one. He's
one.
Talking about.
Yeah, but he still hangs
kid
out with his
got
dad.
Got kidnapped.
Oh, yeah, but he's married, right?
He's married to the Native American
yes,
lady. But
yes.
He doesn't go out and party. He just kind of chills.
The military hero.
Yes,
the sniper.
But I don't know enough. See, that's I'm not to that part yet.
Yeah, you'll like it. It's good. I mean, it's kind of cotton candy. No, but it's rough. I mean, there's some rough. I don't know how to describe it. I like the character development that they do. I like they've got some good lines. The writing's pretty good. And I always say I watch it. It reminds me when I worked at the ranch in Wyoming. That's what it looks like. So the scenery is exactly
like scenery.
Oh,
sort of like I did in Brokeback Mountain. Sort of like I did in Brokeback Mountain.
Takes you back. Takes me back to the summer job and. Big Sky Country.
It takes me
and how
back
beautiful
to
it is.
Back, yeah,
and the whole ranch hand thing, like the down in the barn and all those dudes. That's very similar to the working at the ranch. I mean, the same kind of thing goes on. You live in the bunkhouse.
But the one thing that's way
cussing,
out
poker
of line
playing.
Is them putting a branding iron on you with why? Who the hell is going to let somebody do that?
Well, you see,
no.
That. Yeah. Well, they
it's
bring
the mafia. It's a mafia move, and the mafia doesn't even take people down and brand them like cattle. That's kind of unreal, isn't it? You see the size of that deal?
Well, because, look, I mean, you just said it. It's just like the mafia. Once you're part of the Yellowstone and you got the Y on you.
Gone.
Well, you can't go. You're stuck.
No, I'm gone.
You're in. But, you know, once you're a made man in the mafia, you're either in or you're dead. Right? Right,
guess.
Literally. I mean, you can't turn against the family because there's some criminal behavior happening. And you know things that are happening that you've got to be loyal to the Y, not yourself, right? At that point, you're given that, and obviously Kevin Costner brings in people who are fresh out of prison, and they've got some troubled backgrounds in the first place.
He does have some,
and then he brands
people.
Them, and they become his people. It's very similar to the mafia. Yes, you serve the family at this point, and maybe get Beth Dutton.
So far, it's okay because now I know what it is.
Okay, it's good.
It is. It's country mafia, so I'm digging on it.
I kind of like it,
but
the scenery's amazing. Some of the characters are fun, but it's suspense and belief at times. It says, I agree with Zay. It's total deception. Total deception. You call it
what,
cat.
Spanx?
Spanx.
I'm down. Bring on the Spanx. If you got to bring them on.
Well, isn't at least a little disappointing when you think you got one thing and you end up, it's like, you know.
No, the disappointment was you reach down there and what you thought was that is something different. That's disappointing.
This will be a very shallow comment, and I haven't been in this position in a long
time. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you go to a region, you know.
Yeah, that's catfishing.
Yes. Spanx is not catfishing.
What is that?
what is it that we have here?
Excuse me.
Now that's being catfish,
right? Well, that's
Zay.
That's when the real problem begins. But if you get home and it's
problem.
Not what it was, then maybe it
for you, some I
you
guess.
Still move forward for the evening. But it probably Maybe you thought this could be the one, and then you maybe it's, I don't know. I don't know what Zay's saying on that one, because I haven't been in that position in a long time.
Yeah, that other one ruined my evening, period.
That happened to you?
I'm not, no, it's never happened to me, but I don't know where you go from there. I don't, I'm sure it's happened to guys.
You can tell nowadays who's spanking and not. At least I can. Even though I'm about to be married, when I be, you know, doing my looking, I'll be saying, oh, jeez.
You can tell?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Just, wait, is there a
yeah, but you don't,
thin
but
line
you,
or something
but
there?
But sometimes
right?
Bucky's talking about if there's something down below. Down
yeah, I
the
know
south
what
side.
He's talking about.
Yeah.
More than spanking there.
You have to reveal that, right? I mean, the spanks thing, you try to keep that under wraps until you need to, but the other thing, you need to reveal that.
Oh, no. No.
You can't let somebody walk into that surprise.
Oh, no. Yes, you can. You can let your boy walk right in dead smack into that one. Hello. Hello there.
It's like the buddy in college that I knew that took a girl home from 6th Street, and she had one leg, but he didn't know it. Like, as they were getting after, she took her leg off.
Nothing stopping that.
Oh, no.
Hello.
No, it's just threw it on the table.
Once again, clap on, clap off.
No, he said it was a little weird at the beginning, but then it's fine. Like, it's like, oh, I didn't know that. No one told me. She didn't, like, say, hey, guess what? We're going home, but I have a wooden leg. I'm going to take this appendage off.
Probably back in the day, I would have said, that's going to be fun.
That's what he said. He said it was fine. It was a little surprising at the first, you know? So, you know, just get over it.
Yeah, but my wife said the word spanks, and I'm like, oh, is that what those things are called? The things that go up, like, right where your belly is, up a little bit above your belly. Well, this is waist. This was down, yeah, it was above, like, belly button part.
Yeah,
was,
you're trying to keep it all high and tight, as they said. But it's not, I mean, women live
forever. I don't think
forever.
That's being deceptive.
Females, well, women have been stuffing their bras for a while. You know, they wear those loaded up brassieres, and then they wear a bunch of makeup, and they wake up the next day, they don't look anything like the person you met.
That's the one that gets you back in the day when I wasn't married and I was single for 17 years. The one with the loaded bra one, where that thing, when during the course of a night, it looked unbelievable. And then when you got home, it was like, that's not right. Now, that's cheating, right?
No.
Loaded bras are cheating.
Well, I think it's similar to all, you know, making it. Yeah, okay, we're shallow people.
We're not shallow, we're just being honest. You know what I mean?
I'm with you. All right, quick timeout. We're back. We will run through that list of the, according to CBS Sports, the top players in the NFL, under 25. We mentioned who were the top 100 under 25 players. We'll run through some of those. Also get you teed up for the rest of the day here on the Horn, including, of course, Light the Tower, coming after our program at 10 o'clock. We'll be right back. Be on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Fun show today, Tuesday. Glad you're with us. Already Tuesday. That's a good thing. That means tomorrow is to get over the hump Wednesday with a lot of conversations there. Good NBA playoffs tonight. Triple header. These series end tonight, Zay. Brooklyn close out the Celtics tonight. They're up 3-1. Obviously, Lakers and the other two can't be closed out. He's got Nuggets, Blazers at 2-2, and Suns, Lakers at 2-2. And the Lakers likely to play without Anthony Davis tonight. That growing injury, but does Brooklyn close out?
Yeah, they close out. They know the sense of urgency with Milwaukee at home, chilling, again, eating cheese, relaxing, waiting for Brooklyn. And, yeah, like I said before, that's going to be a hell of a series with the Bucks and the Nets.
As we said, the Nets, the first team in NBA history to have three players combine for 95 or more points in back-to-back playoff games. I mean, there's been some pretty good trios in NBA history, right? I mean, Showtime Lakers, Golden State Warriors with Kevin Durant, but it's never happened that with Harden, Kyrie, and Durant to score 95 or more points to combine in back-to-back games, they are pretty much unstoppable when they're on offensively. I mean, that's...
Yeah, and Harden hasn't had to do very much.
And Harden's just playing the point. He's running the point guard position.
He's going to the free throw line a lot.
Well, he's always done that, right? He's always been that tough guard that can get to the foul
break
line.
Break it down, yeah.
Yeah, and then you got Durant, who's an all-time great scorer, and then you have Kyrie, who's a good finisher as well. So they're tough, but I agree with you, that Milwaukee series that looms in the round two will be a lot of fun in the NBA. So that's tonight. You also have baseball tonight, Astros and Red Sox. We mentioned the Astros over the weekend, Fernando Tatis. Remember I mentioned that Tatis is on fire and hit a big home run. Astros were up 8-5 on Saturday's game against the Padres. 8-5 was a really good series. Astros lost in extra innings on Friday. Padres beat them. And then Astros were up 8-5 in the ninth with two outs and nobody on. And Ryan Pressly, the closer, on. And they end up losing the game because Tatis hit a 3-run home run. But I didn't mention is the play before Tatis hit the home run, there was a foul pop that the rookie outfielder, gosh, what's his name, should have made the play, dropped it.
Ooh.
He always misplayed the foul ball that should have been the last
corn,
out of the game.
Can of corn?
And it was in foul territory. Lost it up in the Minute Maid Park, you know, rafters, and it landed, and so he got another swing and Tatis jacked it, tied the game at 8, and they went to extra frames, and the Padres won that. But Tatis is on fire. But the Astros scoring the most runs of any team in baseball right now on a game by game basis. They'll play the Red Sox again tonight. Rangers are in Colorado tonight, playing some ball. So those are all things we'll be talking about tomorrow. All right, Buck. So top NFL players under 25. You're number one on the list. Tell me if you agree or disagree. Is Lamar Jackson? Lamar Jackson
under 25?
Yes. 25 or under, because that's obviously coming into the prime of your career.
What is he?
He's already 25.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
As I said, this is a huge year for him.
It certainly is. But also on the list, under the age of 25, let me see if I can find this current list. I had it called up, and then my computer went down. Under 25, Lamar Jackson is one. Christian McCaffrey, Carolina Panthers, pretty good. Miles Garrett. How about Miles Garrett was top 10 in the top 100 players. He's also under 25 years old.
He's a beast.
He is a beast, and that's one of the reasons I like Cleveland. Their overall roster is loaded. Quentin Nelson, the Colts, the guard. Chris Godwin of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the wide receiver. DK Metcalf of the Seahawks. Marlon Humphrey, the corner of the Ravens, is on this list. Jair Alexander, another one, the Packers. He was top 15 in the top 100 players, and he's under 25. Nick Bosa, Nick Chubb.
Mm-hmm.
Terry McLaurin, the young receiver in Washington. A.J. Brown, Tennessee. That's why if Julio Jones ended up in Tennessee or Seattle and paired with A.J. Brown or D.K. Metcalf.
To my big, powerful guys.
Oh, that'd be a handful, my friend. So looking. Saquon Barkley, 16. Chase Young, 18.
Once again, if Saquon is healthy, he's in the top five, period.
And how about this? On the CBS Sports, the top 100 players, they have Josh Allen, 10. He's number 20 in the top players under 25.
Yeah.
How's that jive? Doesn't make sense. Yeah. It says Taylor Jones playing first when he dropped the pop. Yep. Pressly should have been out. Unfortunate. The Astros play the Red Sox tonight. That'll be a good one. I think it's tomorrow night, the ESPN game. That's a 4-game series. Hey, Buck, somebody, we said we saw Saquon Barkley in town this weekend. Somebody said they saw Tyreek Hill. You know, I have it on good account that Tyreek Hill is in town a bunch. He's dating the sister of Kenny Vaccaro.
Oh, really?
And Kevin Vaccaro, yeah. He's dating a Vaccaro.
I see.
Sister. So, quick note on our way out.
Catch some Yellowstone.
Go watch some Yellowstone. Go Beth Dutton.
I'd like to know who the two girls are that don't have the Y that hang out with them all the time are.
You'll learn.
Okay.
You'll learn. Enjoy your Tuesday, everybody. We'll be right here dark and early tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. all the way to 10 o'clock with a Get Over the Hump Wednesday. Isaiah Collier, great stuff. If you missed any part of the program, you can podcast it at hornfm.com. Appreciate our friend Ty Harrington breaking down the college baseball bracket, as well as Dustin McComas. Good guests today. Appreciate them. Light the Tower is next.